Good afternoon, evening, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour one of the broadcast here on this Monday, the 18th of March, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me, once again, my regular Monday co-host, and of course, RBN host of Last Man Standing, Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, hey, glad to have you here again tonight. Thanks for being up at this hour.
Good to be with you, Richard.
And it's a little belated, but I wanted to say happy St. Patrick's Day, brother.
Indeed, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's a strange thing how the whole world gets very excited about St. Patrick's Day in such a small little country, isn't it? You know, I don't know whether this is the same, you know, but it's maybe ironic, or maybe I'm just some sort of miserable git, but I honestly couldn't care less. I don't know, it's just I think if you're from Ireland, maybe I think people get more excited about St. Patrick's Day if they're like descendants of Irish people or something, but to me it's whatever. It's a bit like over here, I think people around the world, they get very sort of excited about, you know, the royal family and stuff. When I go to Italy, anytime there's any news about the UK, it's almost exclusively about the royal family. It's as if everybody thinks when you fly into London, you know, it's like Mary Poppins, you know, the royal family everywhere. And, you know, it's like this sort of caricature. I think maybe St. Patrick's Day is a bit like that. But anyway, it's a fun day for a lot of people. So good luck to everybody and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Indeed. But yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of people who are Irish American and particularly proud or passionate about their Irish heritage probably wish they could actually, you know some people like yourself overseas or have spent some time there, and to, you know, to overcompensate. I mean, yeah, they'll be very perhaps passionate about the holiday. But it's interesting over here. I mean, a lot of people who celebrate it, Irish American young people, will go bar hopping in a group where, you know, they wouldn't be able to walk half the time from each bar to the other and that sort of thing. Everyone associates it with drinking for some reason over here, at least. But from what I understand, the original idea, it had to do a lot with the shamrock, and the gentleman who's called St. Patrick wasn't even ordained a saint, from what I understand. They just called him a saint, but evidently he used the three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity, is the story I've heard.
Exactly. That's exactly true, and just to I'm really sorry to burst anyone's bubble who's in the throw of a St. Patrick's Day party in New York or something on their fifth Guinness of the night. But so just to make it even more depressing from myself, to let you know, St. Patrick was actually English.
Wow,
he was. He came over from England.
Wow. Okay.
And when he came over, he was captured in England, as far as I remember, by some sort of, I don't know, pirates or something. Something like this. And when he got trapped in Ireland, or he was taken to Ireland or something, and he couldn't, but he was a slave and he was captured. But he escaped and he made his way back to England. And I think in England, though, he had been at some point before he was a slave or was captured to go to Ireland, or maybe when he came back, he became a Christian, because I think the gospel had reached him on the English mainland. And he had a dream when he was in England to go back and evangelize the pagan Irish at the time. So he did, and it's a very interesting story. He did indeed apparently used the shamrock as a evangelist tool to try and explain the Trinity because they couldn't get their head around it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but that is the story. He was born on the English mainland, and then went over there, was a slave, came back, and then went back and did evangelize Ireland. So, yeah. It's actually right. Quite an interesting story.
Yeah, it is. And I did catch your broadcast though for St. Patrick's Day. And no, it's yesterday, great. It's refreshing to hear your complete take on it. You know, from an authentic Irishman. And I'm sure a lot of people will get a kick out of it. Maybe a caller will respond to that. But no, you had an interesting show covering a good deal of topics. I know you touched on the Ukrainian situation, conflict, and well, you had a really good way, I think, of breaking down a Putin. You know, it's so hard for people who see the Soviet Union's past or see his past even. I mean, he was former KGB, and that's what some of us, you know, in our circles point out as some of the things to be wary right now, certainly. And if you were a Russian, I mean, he's done, you know, great things for the Russian people. As far as what he mentions in like an interview with Tucker, I mean, I think it's, you know, hardly here nor there. It's not really the kind of thing you could expect of a global leader to get into all that World War II revisionism and everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do struggle sometimes because I know people, you know, who absolutely hate Vladimir Putin. And of course, they're, for the most part, they're brainwashed by Western propaganda, which they don't believe exists. And of course, you cannot be, you know, more vulnerable to something than to fail to recognize it. This is why so many people in the West are hopelessly propagandized. And if you ever try and present any of these ideas to them, well, they're also conditioned to believe that Russia is guilty only of propaganda and is not capable of a truthful word. And so any of the ideas that you try and put forth to your average person, they will dismiss this as Russian propaganda, and they are probably incapable of shifting their worldview. And I mean, I think you have to entertain the idea that, you know, our listeners here, you, Richard, me, at some point we came to the truth of a lot of things, and it probably was quite natural for us and quite interesting for us. But a lot of other people, it's not. It's a source of anxiety to think that the first 30 or 40 or 45 years of your life, you've been believing a lot of lies, and that your benevolent government may not be as sweet and lovely as you thought. But it is, I think it is still kind of difficult to get an accurate picture of what Russia's like, although I did read an article today, and I think there is tension in Russia because a lot of people, you know, there's a very low tolerance for dissent there. And so there is a certain amount of fear of Putin. But of course, that would only be a problem if you're, you know, anti-war and you're critical of Putin. You know, I think a certain amount of that is normal if you're Putin, if you're a genuine nationalist who cares about your country. You know, the country's under attack. You know, it's ostensibly the case. There's a proxy war been waged against it. There's been constant attempts to undermine the Russian Federation, to remove Vladimir Putin. So you can kind of understand that a nationalist leader like Putin will have to rule to a certain extent, you know, with a heavy hand. Of course, if you're in the same camp as Putin, then you don't have to worry. You're not going to be saying anything out of line. It's almost the opposite of here, because we can get put in prison in this country or get in trouble in this country for affirming your national interests, you know, whereas, you know, and actually trying to defend your national interests against a government which is hell bent on subverting your country, undermining your national interests. Whereas in Russia, it's the opposite. You've got a leader whose sole role in life is to preserve the Russian Federation and its interests and its actual existence, and then you can get in trouble if you happen to, you know, criticize that, you know. So it's quite interesting.
Yes. Well, I mean, this country seems to be openly targeted for destruction. The same with most all of Europe, you know, particularly Western Europe, but I mean, Europe in general. Russia doesn't seem to be experiencing this, you know. Somehow international forces and NGO tribal players and what have you insisting on immigration quotas like Poland or Hungary are dealing with. I mean, he hasn't, you know, a non-Russian, non-white immigration quotas. But, you know, would those in the West love to be able to have that power over Russia in future?
So I say it again, Richard, the question at the end.
Well, would the oligarchs in the West love to eventually be able to have that power over Putin as well, to be able to force these quotas of you know, non-white immigration into Russia as well down the line? And yeah, could that be part of the agenda, or is that not really the plan, you know, for, say, like Russia or China, as far as in the global agenda, if you will? I mean, could the global leaders be willing to play ball with those countries without that ever occurring?
I think in the case of Putin they want to get rid of Putin. That was the plan all along, and put a very sort of just put a puppet in there, and eventually, you know, chop up the country and probably Middle Easternize the country, a bit like the Israeli plan for, you know, the old Ugyanin plan for the Middle East, is to break it up, and then, you know, rule it by divide and rule, and of course suck and drain it of its resources for Western oligarchs. Putin is, he represents something diametrically opposed to all those things. And there's, he promotes and is very proud of and attempts to create pride in being Russian. That is the opposite of what our leaders do. They shame us. They castrate us. And in fact, they tie our hands behind our backs for having, you know, they criminalize, in fact, when we attempt to affirm our identity. If we say, for example, there's too many foreigners here, if you, for example, say there's a racial element to your country, that Europe is a white continent, well, this can put you, you know, land you in prison for racism. If, you know, if you affirm any of these things which are as part of your identity, you can get in trouble. Putin's doing the opposite of that. So you can see why they hate the guy, you know? I mean...
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's considered hate speech now. They're trying to normalize that in all of our countries, you know, yeah. U.S., Canada, Europe. Sure. Mm. It's ridiculous, and because it's like you wouldn't have that in any brown or black country, you know.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we had I saw on the news yesterday the Welsh have elected, I think he's of African origin, originally his ancestry. So the Prime Minister of Wales is now black. So you've got Rishi Sunak, the English PM, ultimately the United Kingdom Prime Minister. But in Scotland, you've got the First Minister up there is a Muslim. He's an Arab Muslim. I mean, I know Muslims are a religion. That doesn't mean you're, you know, all Muslims are that part of the world, but most of them are, and he is. You've got Leo Varadkar, who is half Indian and a homosexual. The Irish went all out. They went full on. They weren't just happy enough with the half Indian. They decided, let's pick a homosexual as well. And, yeah, you wonder why my sort of enthusiasm for St. Patrick's Day has somewhat dampened over the years, I think because, of, you know, maybe Ireland is not quite as St. Patrick's Day-ish as it once was.
Touché.
Yeah, quite. Who else? So there's not, you've got the mayor of London is a Muslim, little weasel. So, you know, it doesn't look like the UK, really. It doesn't look like, you know, what was previously the UK for centuries, or Ireland, or, and this is, of course, a phenomenon right across Europe. But if you dare to say that you're not a fan of this and that you want to affirm a, a racial or indeed even a religious nature to your, you know, national identity, well, it's off to prison with you, or at least been dragged through the courts, at least, you know.
Right. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's getting worse over here. And on the state level, you know, there's a gradual, well, creep, you know, slow boil of the frog of our First Amendment, freedom of speech, likewise, and along these lines. I can't get over this whole idea of South Africa taking Israel to court, you know, to The Hague, when you look at their crimes of white genocide. I mean, it just seems like a psyop slap in the face to white people globally to have South Africa trying to seem all noble there, and just the elephant in the living room no one can address, you know, their white genocide.
Yeah, of course. I know it is kind of strange, isn't it? But, you know, thus far, I suppose, in the absence of any kind of challenge to that murderous, exterminist state, you know, you kind of welcome it. But yeah, it is a strange twist of irony, for sure, and double standard.
You are you familiar with that broadcaster? I don't know. I think he's on Rumble mostly these days. He was covering a lot of COVID stuff for a while there. Had a lot of guests on. Stu Peters. Have you heard of this this American?
No, I can't say it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, he had some of the somewhat far out topics related to COVID and also the shots, mRNA shots. I can remember this Dr. Carrie Madej. First I had seen her on some obscure independent media article websites, you know, and then suddenly I saw her on his show, and, you know, she's talking about her sources and the fact that they're claiming under microscopes that they saw some kind of like hydra looking creatures, you know, from the contents of these shots. You know, I mean, just this really far out kind of wild claims. And she said she didn't even witness it herself and everything. So, I mean, I don't know. He suddenly got into this around, you know, COVID. You know, he wasn't into independent media journalism prior to that. I mean, at one point, evidently, he was a rapper, you know, so into that just entertainment industry here and there. And so it's like, yeah, this white rapper, he was evidently this guy. But yeah, Stu Peters. So now suddenly it's like it seems like he's trying to take on Zionism to some extent regarding the situation in Gaza. Mm. And it seems like he expanded now. I mean, suddenly there's like a whole network he's trying to have, like Stu Peters Network, SPN, and he's got a bunch of other people. Like he was trying to have the whole Alex Jones empire thing going with a bunch of other people who do their little news commentaries, you know, like a bunch of other anchors, basically. And then he throws himself in with these close-ups and trying to make himself look really cool, but laid back, you know, loosen the collar, you know, look, you know, get some tips from what people told him last couple of years. So it's totally a rebranding sort of expansion vibe. But yeah, he's totally, I could mention, because I heard this clip last night, and I'll get your take on just, you know, where some of these people are really going and what motive, but we'll be right back. Sure.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. NASSecret.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey and Paul Edward Stevenson. And so, yeah, Paul, I mean, I this guy hasn't been on the scene of independent media very long. And I've just been suspicious because he grabbed on to a lot of big names and then kind of added a lot of really far out, wild angles, you know, to what he was covering about COVID. There are a lot of people, though, that genuinely did get more active on this stuff with COVID, the lockdowns, and the amount we were lied to about that woke them up to, in general, how much things are not as they're presented by a lot of these independent, a lot of these corporate media sources, even our establishment, you know, in general, and governments. But evidently... Yeah, now that he suddenly is talking about Jews, it looks like someone updated Wikipedia pretty severely against him. So here, the current Wikipedia is saying Stu Peters, and he's only about, what, 5 years younger than us, maybe like 4 years. And so Stu Peters born April 1st. Really? Okay. Well, assuming it's true, he's born on April Fool's Day, folks. If we're supposed to believe this guy's on the left, I mean, he just seems totally like someone who's a plant, you know. But okay, Stu Peters, born April 1st, 1980, is an American alt-right internet personality. I mean, come on, alt-right. I mean, he's never talked about anything white the first couple years there with this COVID stuff. You know, I mean, he didn't dare. So it's just funny. By the way, he's an alt-right internet, American alt-right internet personality, white nationalist. Yeah, right. A political commentator, Holocaust denier, whoa, he's graduated big time already, and conspiracy theorist. He is known for promoting COVID-19 misinformation and conspiracy theories, as well as anti-LGBTQ anti-Semitic and white supremacist beliefs. Now, I have trouble believing that. It's just interesting. I mean, you get whenever you say anything about the Jewish narratives of things, of course, you know, the official narratives of things, you get anti-Semitism thrown at you, white nationalists, white supremacists. So it doesn't really mean, I think, that he even said much anything. I can't imagine. He just seems so. But yeah, I mean, he was referring to Jews and also Zionism primarily. But I heard Robert.
Well, what did he say?
Playing a clip of him last night. Yeah, maybe I should play it after the break. Yeah, maybe I should play it after the break here. But
yeah, that's what I have to say.
It's just more in the context of how he in the past, you know, he's just been focusing on COVID, didn't ever touch on these issues, and so. And then at the same time period, okay, we seem to have Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones merging because they're collaborating quite a bit now suddenly.
Yeah, I see that, and, yeah.
Yeah, so what's up with that? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know,
I think they've kind of taken control.
I'm always suspicious out there of the. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm not suspicious of those two. I think it's just. And the natural kind of merger where they, you know, over the years, they've ended up on the same kind of page or very similar anyway. But I, you know, when you see them together, it's kind of strange because, you know, I remember when I first listened to Alex Jones, you know, he was very critical of including Fox News and, you know, Carson as well. But, you know, Carson's moved a fair bit over the years. So they've kind of met in the middle. Or they've met somewhere, I guess, where Tucker's a lot more open to a lot of things because I think he's sort of seen a lot of things and realized a lot of things, you know. So I don't listen to Alex Jones myself. I mean, I don't know what sort of things he says these days, really. Probably banging on about China, I'd imagine. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I happen to have both mutes on there, and he'll usually use China as the boogeyman, though, Alex.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And as far as things he, well, I mean, it just seems like very much a misdirection. Controlled opposition perspective, you know, quite often. And you get this from a lot of people around these circles of independent media land. It's just that with the Stu Peters, it's just interesting how, well, yeah, like I say, the same timing where, I don't know, I'm suspicious. Maybe Tucker could be oblivious, but it's like, could someone want Alex Jones to get Tucker into his camp so we can influence him on what to cover and what not to cover. Who knows? But
I'm not as suspicious. I used to be a little bit more, but I'm not as suspicious of Alex Jones as you are. I think Jones largely believes what he believes, and that's that.
Well, I think he's definitely concerned about how that perception could affect his product. So we'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Wow, twice in a row. Sorry, folks. I was trying to quickly find the place to play that from, and just to be safe. I don't really think it would. I have to route it otherwise. But just in case it were to somehow play anything over Skype, I wanted it muted there. But no, we are back, folks, here on Beyond the Official Narrative. I'm Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey and Paul Edward Stevenson. And so, yeah, I'll send this over to the board, Paul, and I could let you hear some of what Robert was playing from Stu last night, because, I just found it curious he's suddenly taking this direction. And, you know, some of what he said was pretty hardcore compared to certainly anything that he had previously. Yeah, I just sent this to Skype too, though, Julia. Beginning at 8 minute mark, if you could cue it up there, please, and I'd appreciate that. It's just an archive from last night, and I was looking on the Rumble channel of Stu Peters Network before the show, Paul, and you know, some of the recent videos they've been streaming here. So evidently. And this is part of why I find it curious, too. I mean, they're definitely trying to spin it in a very, don't dare, you know, present this as anything that could be called racist. So, of course, it's about attacking. And he stresses so often, you know, people who call themselves Jews and the Zionist reference. It's definitely trying to separate, you know, certain individuals from Jewish philosophy as a whole, Jewish culture as a whole. If you go back into history, you and I know that this isn't just some recent issue or with certain wealthy oligarchs who I claim to be Jews and no one else, as far as some of the issues we've seen in our Western societies. And but nonetheless, I mean, it seems like it's trying to spin it in a very racially, anti-racial and anti-racist, slant. This Rabbi Shmuley, now that's actually his first name, but he goes by Shmuley, Rabbi Shmuley. I forget the last name. Mr. Ravel actually mentioned it last night. But I mean, okay, so he is out there, and he was attacking Candace Owens. Okay, you know, because about everything going on right now, I mean, the media has been very, concerned about just the angles on this Gaza.
This guy we're going to listen to, he's been attacking Candace Owens.
No. He's defending, really. I mean, he's deciding to attack certain aspects of Jewry, Zionism, because of, evidently he called Candace Owens, the rabbi called Candace Owens the N-word. You know, he evidently called her a nigger. You know, I'm just saying what the word was. And he's defending it. He's saying that, you know, well, we've dealt with this Holocaust and all this. I've earned the right to be able to call her that. Evidently, he's even said that. And so Stu Peters is jumping on him for that. But I mean, you know, yeah, I have to admit, if she's one with a very questionable past herself, evidently, I mean, she was trying to dox far-right sort of patriots, and then suddly shifted where she got on the Trump train, Candace Owens. I didn't know that about her past, but I don't know. So anyway, it's just curious, because there's always a desire to have controlled opposition. You know, the establishment always wants to be able to have something that they can corral everyone with. Any misdirection that's necessary can be implanted at those sources. So the same time period where Tucker is hooking up with Alex Jones, we just have, I don't know, Stu Peters just suddenly going sideways from what I've known of him before. All right, so yeah, let's go ahead then. And if you have that ready, Julie, at the 8-minute mark of Robert Ravolt's show from last night, please play that.
Sort of thing. So let's go ahead and listen to the first part of clip 10. Go ahead and play it.
You see, there's this entire gang of these Jew enforcers that includes groups like the ADL, but it also includes individuals. And whenever anyone runs afoul of them, these people, these parasitical vultures, they quickly rein them back in. And if the offender doesn't cooperate, they destroy their lives. They're running a blackmail operation. And they use this vast network of media outlets and big tech-aligned influencer accounts and literal Israeli agents to carry it out. And they crush anyone who gets in their way. But you know, lately, they've been running into some trouble. They've been running into a bunch of unruly goy, like us here at the Stu Peters Network, and like Candace Owens, who refuse to fall in line. Despite working over at the Daily Wire in the belly of the Zionist beast that is the American media landscape, Ben Shapiro hasn't been able to do much to control what Candace Owens says. And she's putting forth a lot of truth lately. And so, of course, all of this caught the eye of one of the top Jew enforcers, the Jews' blackmailer-in-chief, Rabbi Shmuley. This hideously ugly rabbi who looks like a real-life version of an anti-Jewish propaganda poster, and his daughter, who's also equally as hideous. They're like the blackmailers of the stars. Anyone in media, anyone in entertainment who steps out of line, the Shmuleys set their targets on them, set their crosshairs on them. They run blackmail campaigns. They plant hit pieces in the media. They do everything that they can to ruin their lives. And Candace openly discussed this the other day on her program. She talked about how these Jews came after her when she gave airtime to Kanye West, when she wore a White Lives Matter shirt with Kanye, and when she dared to broach the topic of Jewish control and Jewish influence. Shmuley and his daughter demanded that Candace disavow Kanye West, and if she didn't, they said that she would face severe consequences. Take a look.
I very much abstained from speaking much about the issue because people were so emotional that people couldn't hear, even if I had shared. And even when Kanye did share that he was speaking about specific people in Hollywood that he believed were coming after him and were trying to control him. He actually named some of those individuals. He shared personal text messages of a friend of his, a personal trainer to the stars, who again happens to be Jewish, was threatening to put him in the hospital and to drug him against his will. Harley Pasternak is his name, and the media barely reported on those text messages that he shared publicly because obviously he was enemy number one. And here's what else I will tell you. When that Kanye situation went down, I was being threatened by a person named Rabbi Shmuley, a person that Michael Jackson put on his enemy list, the person that I had never heard of.
Hey, pause it, pause it for a second.
And saying that unless...
Now, his last name is Boteach, B-O-T-E-A-C-H. They say Rabbi Shmuley and the Shmuleys. No, that's his first name. His last name is Boteach, B-O-T-E-A-C-H. Go ahead and resume it, Sam.
By a person named Rabbi Shmuley, person that Michael Jackson put on his enemy list, the person that I had never heard of, was threatening me and saying that unless I came out and said things explicitly against Kanye, he would effectively ruin my life. He said that he would take out a front page ad and smear me as an anti-Semite. And it wasn't just him. It was also his daughter messaging me saying, don't mess with Jews. Very bizarre stuff. And they have not stopped, to be clear. And him and his daughter have consistently pulled clips from this show, taken them out of context, and tried to convince Jewish people that I hate them.
Did you hear that? You heard that. If Candace Owens didn't come out against Kanye West, Shmuley and his hideous daughter said, hey, we will ruin your life. They said they would take out front page ads. And these threats weren't made quietly or behind closed doors. No, they were made publicly. You see, these people that call themselves Jews, that claim to be Jewish, they can be as brazen as they want to be because their degenerate tribe is in control. And nobody is willing to do anything about it because they'll be called an anti-Semite. Well, we don't give a shit. Okay, we don't care. And Candace Owens has refused to back down too. She's refusing to be quiet. If anything, she's getting even louder. And she's hinting now that she has knowledge of Jewish pedophile rings in Hollywood and D.C., two of the most disgusting cities on earth, both of which, of course, are run by people who claim to be Jews. And that seemed to strike a nerve with this Shmuley character, who's a noted pervert and wrote a bizarre book on having kosher sex. So now he's following through on his threats. Over the weekend, he made a post to X that called Candace Owens an American abomination and the face of racism and anti-Semitism. He called her a self-hating black woman. And he really got bent out of shape over Candace's take on the drug overdose death of black criminal George Floyd. You know, the death that the Jews used to kick off an anti-white color revolution in the United States. This blackmail operation is nothing new for this Shmuley parasite. This is what he does. This is what his people do. They do it every single time. They haven't been kicked out of more than 100 countries because people didn't like the look of their tiny hats. No, it goes much deeper than that. And, you know, as Candace mentioned in her video, Michael Jackson had Shmuley on his enemies list. It's interesting. What did Michael Jackson know about Shmuley and the Jews? And did it cost him his life? For Kanye West, it was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, by all accounts, seems to have known the score. And he was skeptical, to say the least, about Hollywood Jews. Made songs about it. Songs that are now censored by Jewish-run big tech platforms like YouTube. Why? And when Michael Jackson did too much noticing, when he started asking too many questions and getting too big for his Gentile britches, the Jews ruined him. They called him a pedophile. He died addicted to drugs. it's a whole different story, a whole different episode. But if you dig into Michael Jackson's downfall, you'll find that it's littered with subversive Jews, just like Rabbi Shmuley. There's only one way to defeat these people that call themselves Jews, and that's to keep on noticing, to keep on raising awareness and not backing down to these threats. We can't be intimidated by a bunch of people who are hiding behind the shield of claiming to be Jewish. Top Lobster's been noticing. He's been paying attention. He's here with us for more on this. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me back again. Man, Rabbi Shmuley, you guys gave me the call. Said, come and talk about Rabbi Shmuley. I said, of course. One of my favorite people to look and notice on Twitter and just in general. I mean, thank God God created something called physiognomy, where we can kind of just look at somebody and immediately know they're the bad guy. And when I look at this guy's face, if he doesn't rub you the wrong way, I mean, just looking at him as he's speaking, something must be dead inside.
Yeah, it's almost like he has pubic hairs growing out of his face. It's disgusting.
It's comical. It's sometimes I go the Owen Benjamin route of thinking, where it's like, it almost seems too set up. The guy has this villainous face, eyes too close together, nose real big, always rubbing hands, puby beard. And he's doing the most obnoxious things, from running a sex company with his daughter to, you know, just calling blatant anti-Semitism about just about anything. I mean, and one of his latest posts here I was looking at, where he's kind of alluding to the humiliation ritual that they put John Cena through the other day. Like, as it almost, I'm like, are you related to this also? Are you just doing all of these things? Because all these patterns seem quite related. It's sexual deviancy. It's claiming victimhood. You're constantly bringing up the Holocaust.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Now, there's another big thing, and we're going to get clip two ready, Sam. And this was another thing covered over there by Stu. And this is concerning Puff Daddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Sean Puffy Combs, okay? And him being kind of like the black equivalent in that's in the music kind of hip-hop world as Jeffrey Epstein. And there's an individual named Fahim Mohammed, and I guarantee he's connected with the Nation of Islam, because Michael Jackson, if you guys remember back in the day, he was being protected by guys from the Nation of Islam. And then, so P. Diddy's got this same kind.
Miscommunication there. Maybe there is a delay on the, I don't know, maybe, well, either Julie wasn't at the control or wasn't able to hear me over it right away. Maybe I should have been louder. But, yeah, so Paul, there you have it. I mean, he's saying all the right things. Don't get me wrong. When I look at his past and then the few things he isn't saying and the timing of everything. But, yeah, I have a Blackbird 9, a fellow host on our network here. He sent me this meme. He snatched it on Twitter before it got removed. And it did get quickly removed, quoting this Rabbi Shmuley who was talking about Candace. You know, the Jews endured the Holocaust and have earned their right to free speech. If I call the arch anti-Semite Candace Owens a, and then he says, nigger, I've earned that right. Rabbi Shmuley.
That's a very strange statement. I don't know how you earn the right. I mean, I don't know. I'm Irish. Should I say, you know, You're a filthy kike. I went, my ancestors went through the potato farm, and I've earned the right. I mean,
right? Where does it? What's the difference? Where does it end?
Yeah. I mean, it's the strangest thing, you know. To say I can call someone a nigger or any other derogatory comment. And by the way, the one I used, just giving an example. If would he like it, or would Jews like it, or accept it? If you said, well, I've suffered X, Y, and Z, so I've earned the right. I mean, it's a ridiculous argument.
It really is. And so I like some of what Stu is exposing. We'll be right back. I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey and Paul Edward Stevenson. And yeah, I shouldn't do that, Stu. I'm just wondering if he realizes now that he's, taking on to a considerable amount. He even mentions, in past times and countries, actually. So does he realize all that could, because, he gets a good amount of reach with his numbers, actually, this guy. Suddenly to shift after a couple of years to include this topic, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily see anything suspicious in that. I mean, I think, some people start realizing this problem, and then they get very, zealous about it because they tend to start exploring it a lot. And, I was no different. I don't know. Most people are no different. So I don't know. It's like there's nothing they've said that I would disagree with in terms of these people and their behavior and their because that's everything he outlined in that is exactly how they operate. It's always intimidation and invoking victimhood status, and you know, this Holocaust gives them license for all sorts of stuff, and you know, they're very aggressive, and they're very paranoid people. It's a very, very dangerous combination, and they're very powerful. But you know, the thing is, when they start to bring in laws, you know, for anti-Semitism and things like that, well, I don't know where that guy lives, but it's a lot more dangerous to talk like that in this country than it is in most states in America. Although in your own, you've got more aggressive anti-Semitism laws. And the one we mentioned the other day was at South Dakota. Trump's running partner is suggesting, and they're bringing in new anti-Semitic laws and stuff. So, you know, when you're faced with prison, you know, it's a different story, but that's how they keep control. They threaten people, they sew up the institutions and the judicial system, and they bring in laws to silence people. And then you have to weigh up what you're prepared to lose, you know, because, you know, there's people in this country who've gone to prison, obviously.
Indeed. And, yeah, you know, I remember that Michael Jackson song from back when it was out. Yeah, I mean, I always said, well, genuinely appreciated the music to it.
Which song?
They Don't Care About Us, it was called.
And
that one wound up getting severely banned because made references to the tribe, you know. I mean, he had been through a lot.
Yeah. I didn't know what this.
And evidently, you know, that may have been what led to all these allegations. Maybe, you know, he got this whole pedophilia thing wrongly. It's very possible, of course. But we'll be back for hour two. We'll stick around, folks.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.